Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship at First Baptist Church in Beverly. Welcome to all those who are gathered here in our sanctuary space. Welcome to all those who are joining us from your worship space, wherever that may be this day, through our live stream. And welcome to all those who may join us later in the week on our podcast, wherever you are worshiping and listening from. It is a joy to be gathered in these moments and to be connected in God's spirit and connected in heart together. The first is that we are delighted, we are so glad to be able to welcome Jenny Lane to our pulpit this morning. Many of you may already know Jenny. Jenny is a member of our church family, and she recently began pursuing her Master of Divinity degree at Boston University's School of Theology, following a call that she has felt to ministry. And one of the great joys of being a church family, one of the great joys of being part of God's church, God's people in the world, is being able to welcome new and growing preachers and to hear the word that God has placed upon their hearts. And so, Jenny, we are so grateful and so pleased to be able to welcome you this morning in this way to our pulpit. So now, we have the opportunity, and I'm going to come join my friends in the playground. Friends, if you're in the playground, I'm going to invite us to come sit just in the front pew so we can get the really good seat to see our friends who are ringing bells. And we'll take a moment to prepare our hearts and our minds and come together in worship. I don't want to embarrass her, but I was sitting there being pretty amazed that even with a broken wrist, Deb Blanchard's up there ringing two bells. As we come into this time of worship this morning, I invite you to hear these words of poetry as we consider the way that each day God's world is born anew, and each day we are invited to enter into it and to be part of that new rebirth and the celebration of what it is to be God's people and part of God's creation. This poem is called Morning Poem by the American poet Mary Oliver. Hear these words. Every morning the world is created. Under the orange sticks of the sun that heaped ashes of the night turn into leaves again and fasten themselves to the high branches. And the ponds appear like black cloth on which are painted islands of summer lilies. If it is your nature to be happy, you will swim away along the soft trails for hours, your imagination alighting everywhere. And if your spirit carries within it the thorn that is heavier than lead, if it's all you can do to keep on trudging, there is still, somewhere deep within you, a beast shouting that the earth is exactly what it wanted. Each pond with its blazing lilies is a prayer heard and answered lavishly every morning. Whether or not you have ever dared to be happy, whether or not you have ever dared to pray. As we come into this new morning, as we come into this, our time of worship, may we come daring greatly, daring to connect with one another, daring to open ourselves to God's leading call and still speaking voice, daring to lift our hearts in prayer to God, daring to join our voices together in songs of praise. So come now, as together we sing our opening hymn, come and let us worship.
We come now to the time in our service for a prayer of invocation, a prayer that calls upon God, invites God to be present to and with us, followed by the Lord's Prayer. I will begin by offering the prayer of invocation, and when I come to the words of the Lord's Prayer, we are all invited to join our voices together to pray. You will find the words to the Lord's Prayer printed in your order of worship, or you are welcome to pray it using whatever words are most familiar and meaningful to you. Let us pray. Loving God, God who was, is, and evermore shall be, draw near to us now in this, our time of worship. Be with us, God, in these, our Sabbath moments. Be with us as we join to sing, to pray, to connect, to learn, and to praise. Be with us as we worship you. Be with us as we pour out the prayers of our hearts before you. Allow us to feel your spirit moving in these moments. God, allow us to feel the ways in which we are all connected at heart and in your love, whether we are gathered here in this sanctuary or worshiping together from our own worshiping spaces. We ground ourselves, God, in your presence, in the faithfulness of your love and care. Love and care made manifest to us in the presence, love, an example of Jesus, the one who came to show us what it is to live and love most fully. And we ground ourselves too in praying together the words that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. We forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our scripture readings today begin in the Hebrew Bible book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. I will be reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and if you would like to follow along in the Pew Bible, you can find it in the Old Testament section of that Bible, page 51. Again, Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Our second reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verses 23 through 28. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God, where Abiathar was high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which is, it is not lawful for any but the priests to eat." Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." May God bless the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of these holy words. And may these words ring in our minds as we turn to our prayer together. Let us join our hearts in prayer. Good God, here we are on another Sunday morning. We are gathered here again in worship with our hearts and minds turned toward you, praising you for your greatness and goodness. We expect that you are in the midst of it, God. We believe that it is what you have called us to do. Yet there are things that hold many of us back from giving ourselves completely to it. Distractions that take us out of the room, misgivings about events that transpired before we came, worries about what will come next, concerns over the state of the world, hand-wringing about all of those items on our to-do lists. We have been reminded already that we are supposed to treat this day as a Sabbath, as a day of rest. Yet there in the backs of many of our minds, or perhaps even in the foreground of our consciousness, we find that hard to imagine. Rest? Rest when there is so much for us to be doing? So many things to keep up with at home? So much that awaits us back at work or in the places where we volunteer? So much to be done in service to you, too. So much to put right in the world, and the wrongs and injustices are just so relentless and so stubborn. But again, here we are, worshiping you, listening for you, praying to you. Oh God, do you think that in praying we can learn finally to cast all of these burdens of ours upon you? Might this exercise be in part an opportunity to enter into your rest, the rest that you practiced yourself and that you commend to us as well? Can we believe you when you tell us that you've got this? That we need not fret because you make our burdens your own, that we truly can lay them down for a season and simply rest in you. We do believe, O God, help our unbelief. In practice of this truth that we profess and long to believe more deeply, we pause now in the silence of this moment to lift to you all of the concerns and petitions that we harbor in our hearts. We lift these, our prayers and so many others, to you, loving God. And we thank you for hearing and attending to them. We thank you for receiving them, for taking our cares and concerns upon yourself in love and compassion. We thank you for granting us the peace that might allow us to enter into your Sabbath rest. We pray these things in Jesus' name, the name of the Lord of the Sabbath. Amen.
Good morning. Lately, I have been contemplating what it means to practice Sabbath, or Shabbat. As a seminary student, I have been learning more than I could ever imagine. Every day, I learn new theological terms, dive deeper into seeking and exploring what faith means to me, and lately, I have had the opportunity to reflect on what many Christians refer to as the Lord's Day. Contemplating Sabbath brings me to a quote from the famous preacher and theologian, Dr. Howard Thurman. There is in you something that waits and listens for the sound of the genuine in yourself. And sometimes there is so much traffic going on in your minds, so many different signals and vast impulses floating through your organism that go back thousands of generations, long before you were even a thought in the mind of creation. And you are buffeted by these. And in the midst of all this, you've got to find out what your name is. I don't know about you, but I like to be busy. I like the traffic in my mind. The movement, the rearranging of schedules, and the commitment to creating a perfect jigsaw puzzle as a mom, full-time student in seminary, partner, friend, and yoga teacher. I am constantly rearranging. And although there are days when that is exhausting, I would be lying if I didn't admit that I liked it in some way. There's a certain kind of thrill in figuring out and maintaining not only my own schedule, but also my son's, in order to pack as much as I can into our days. And yet, I crave the idea of finding what is genuine within myself. The moment I come to yoga as a student, walk on the beach, rest on the couch with my loved ones, or attend a worship service are the moments that I feel the most calm and balanced. In a world where any given day can bring copious amounts of engagement, we have opportunities to be busy. And if you can't find something to do, create, or engage in, all you have to do is scour the internet for a moment or two to take a look. Today, February 11th, for example, has 34 national holidays. They include Promise Day, which is a day where you can make a promise to your partner or your spouse, Peppermint Patty Day, Latte Day, International Day of Women and Girls in Science. And this year, I heard there's some football game on later tonight that is all the rage. We can always find something to do, engage in, or create. And yet stillness and rest can feel so deeply beautiful. Even in the moments, it can feel terrifying to take a pause. This year at FBC, our theme is Some Assembly Required. And as someone who attended this year's mission trip with my 8-year-old son, Zion, I know a thing or two about assembly. I now know, and was reminded this morning, of one of the tools that's needed to create a set of stairs is a U-joist for a stair stringer, Scott might correct us, which Julie found for myself, Scott, and Emmett over the course of a couple of days, as apparently in the Plymouth, North Carolina region, this is not a popular tool. Additionally, as a parent for 8 years, a solo parent for most of it, I know things that I never imagined I would need to know on my own. Car seat assembly, how to build a bed alone on a Friday night with only a YouTube video and my sleeping child in the living room, how to navigate the court system, how to change my windshield wipers, how to make a career out of something that I love and then switch paths to do it again and go back to seminary, while balancing motherhood and financially and emotionally keeping our family afloat. Tools come in all shapes and sizes. A practice and a tool that I haven't mentioned is rest. Self-care and rest. A tool that I have cultivated for the last 15 years in a variety of ways. This year, I realized that I had integrated rest and connection into my everyday life through my career. As a yoga teacher since 2010, I have managed to always have some semblance of balance or rest sprinkled into my life. Changing my life to attend seminary was one of the best choices that I could have ever made for Zion and I. But the change drastically shifted our schedules. You see, rest is no longer as intuitive as it once had been. Attending worship services weekly can be more difficult than you can imagine when you are up against a deadline for a 15-page paper entitled Uncovering Good Magic, a discovery into divination bands and the contribution social currency gave to magic in ancient Near Eastern and biblical worlds. Suddenly, it seemed like rest wasn't something that I was able to ascertain. In Mark chapter 2, verses 23 to 28, he ends with the words, "And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not the man for Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." As much as I deeply desire rest and connection, I am also reminded that in some instances, it's okay to attend to and work in my everyday life. And yet, I come back to Thurman's quote. There is something in you that waits and listens for the sound of the genuine within yourself. This semester, I am taking a class on Sabbath practices. This course speaks to Sabbath and Shabbat practices where we attend Shabbat services on Friday evenings and ask questions, integrate self-care, and dig deeper into the meaning of Sabbath. One thing that struck me right away as we discussed the Christian-Jewish relations is that Christians did not initiate this practice of Sabbath, but rather we took the idea of Shabbat and began to implement that idea and intention into a day of rest on Sunday, which we now refer to as the Lord's Day. In the Jewish calendar, the day of rest is Friday evening at sundown until Saturday evening at sundown. The day includes Friday evening services, a Shabbat dinner with family or community members, Saturday morning services, and a day of leisure until Saturday at sundown. In traditional Jewish Orthodox families, this means that you may not be able to light a candle, drive your car, do laundry, or cook, as those are considered acts of labor. Additionally, the day starts in the evening because of our passage seen in Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verse 5, where the Lord says, "And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day." This could have been an accident or an intentional translation, but either way, it is recognized that Friday evening into Saturday morning, or Saturday evening, is for the Jewish Shabbat. After we had a chance to take in the services on Friday evening, we gathered in a room to discuss our day. I, naturally inclined to ask as many questions as I'm allowed, had many, many questions. Upon hearing that many traditional Orthodox Jews will not drive on Shabbat, I immediately asked, where do they live? How far do they walk? The answer is that they often live close to temple, and if they live far, the temple often has places to house their travelers and their guests until Saturday morning services. What happens if they really need to accomplish something or have a deadline at work? The answer is that they often work for people who respect and appreciate their religious duties. And lastly, I really wanted to know if Shabbat was something that they could do alone, or if they always did it in company. This is one that I happen to be particularly interested in because I often lead meditation circles where we are together and yet we are alone in our thoughts, prayers, and hearts. The interesting answer is that they cannot be separated. They may pray in silence, together or alone, but it is always, always in community. Jews from around the world are gathered in Shabbat services every Friday night, and they know that somewhere a fellow friend or community member is praying with them, even if you cannot see them. As we watch our friends in the Middle East suffer, I am in awe of the Jewish and Islamic populations. We are witnessing from afar that this is not always something that they share together, but their mutual strength, dedication, and love of the Lord is inspiring. The young people that we interviewed last week spoke of the reminder that somewhere in the world, as a young Jewish person, you know that every Friday night there are candles being lit for hope and peace and love. Our neighbors here and across the world have had many years, decades, lifetimes of oppression and grief, and yet they persevere because they know that they are doing life together and that they are doing life with God, who is helping them rest in moments of connection and in moments of turmoil. These revelations opened my eyes in a way that I wasn't expecting when I attended services last week. It was a full hour, much like church, for us to pause, a full hour where I didn't have my phone, an hour to be alone in my prayers and in community with my peers, and it was beautiful. It got me thinking about Sabbath practices. Immediately following the service, I called my partner on the way home and told him all the ways we should be more intentional with our time. My Christian guilt made me feel terribly about immediately demanding more time and driving home in my car. But the moment that those feelings drifted, I recognized the messages that I heard from God. I heard I need actual rest, not a day off to study, but full integrative rest where I can swim or paint or nap or read. I heard it's okay to not be perfect, and it's okay to slow down. I can integrate real rest and cultivate it as a tool instead of using guilt or hyper-planning to carve out 25 hours to rest every week. Because perhaps your tool of rest is only 60 minutes. As Mark says, the Sabbath was made for man, not the man for Sabbath, which for me translates to mean that the intention of Sabbath is that God is using it to take care of us. God intended that a day of rest would not be burdensome for us, but that we would be able to embrace and practice the restoration of our minds, our bodies, our souls, and our hearts. As a child, my Sabbath was always holy. We attended church almost every Sunday, wore our Sunday best, and then we went to my grandmother's house to visit with my great-grandfather, where we had a full sit-down Sunday meal, and often had card games in the evening where my grandfather would sneak us little ones candy while the grown-ups played. Today, my Sabbath is holy in a new way. Every Sunday, I try my best. We almost always make it here. Sometimes we are dressed as well as we can be, and other times, Zion comes in his Grinch pajamas. I remind myself that God loves us no matter how much we dress up. Lacrosse games, 15-page biblical research papers, and fun family-oriented activities with my boyfriend and our two rambunctious second graders can sometimes lead to us watching services on Zoom. But I always find a way for us to be with God. As a to-be clergy person, I am met with one more question. Or maybe I have many, but I'll leave you with one. This is a question that I was asked a lot by my friends who are PKs. And actually, our two PKs are, I think, in the other room. But for those that don't know what this means, I learned this year that it's short for a preacher's kid. What does Sabbath mean to a minister? When our Sundays are full of God's work, when does our beloved team behind me get to take a break and take the time to practice Sabbath? When do they integrate rest, and how can we support them on that journey, as well as all of our clergy to come? For all my questions, I do not have an answer. And yet, my heart knows that it is time to continue cultivating Sabbath practices. This week, it looked like painting in the kitchen with our children while we played a combination of 90s alternative music and gospel songs, an evening off to watch the new migration movie with Zion, and this month it will integrate yet another Shabbat practice or service with my classmates in the city. This tool, the tool of rest and pleasure, is one that we need to work on cultivating in the American culture. In general, we work too hard, we forget to take time off, and we often have no idea what to do when we find ourselves with extra downtime. What if today you kept a true Sabbath? Perhaps you experiment with grocery shopping via a delivery service in order to spend that hour outside, walking the beach, talking to God. Maybe you invite your friends over for a potluck dinner or attend a slow yoga class. What if you looked ahead on the calendar and remembered what night Parents' Night Out is and created an intentional date night, friend night, solo night for rest and connection? One that does not include grocery shopping, laundry, or any other number of chores. What if we took a moment to pause as we waltz towards the Lenten season and ask ourselves where we can carve more space for rejuvenation during our 40-day journey commencing on Ash Wednesday, Valentine's Day, this year? Some assembly required to me means that we are not perfect, and my goodness, I would not want to be. However, in our assembly, we can cultivate the best tools to be used on our journey in this life. And maybe together we can remember what it means to rest in the arms of God. Maybe together we can remember to take a collective deep breath, to let our shoulders and our hair down. For some of us, that's a little bit more figurative than others. And to take a moment to work on one of our biggest tools, the tool of Sabbath and the restful and rejuvenating practices that help connect us deeper to God. Amen.
Giving a portion of what we claim as ours to God is a Sabbath practice. I mean that literally. Giving offerings to God was a regular practice for those in preparation for the Sabbath, beginning all the way back when the day of rest was first instituted in Hebrew Bible. This is not just because resources were needed in the tabernacle or the temple or the synagogue or the church in order for the corporate people of God to do the work of God. It is also because the practice of letting go of things that we might otherwise cling to frees us from the hold they often have on us. Doing so prepares us to enter into Sabbath rest, true Sabbath rest, in the assurance of God's love and care for all of our needs, including those deepest needs that run far deeper than mere material things. So let us give with great joy, and so enter into the rest of God.
Joy is in all people, your soul. Our service of worship has ended with church today, but we have not ended our service with God. As we begin to lead into our service with God during this week, I am going to read you and leave you with the words of a poem that I wrote a number of years ago that feels so in line with today's message. The places where I can hear my heart, deep in the 100-acre wood, where the trees drown my sorrow in silence, next to Mama Ocean watching fear and grief travel away while I receive abundance of joy and love, soaking in the divine sunshine, in community, in circle, in group, connecting to others and remembering that we are never alone. No matter if we are releasing or receiving, these are the places that we hold our hearts together. May we walk our Sabbath together and with one another and God. Amen.